Good morning. So today's talk is called Things Are Not What They Are Not. I like clever things like that. But it's actually a quote of Jean-Paul Sartre. And if you, I don't know, who all knows who Mr. Sartre is? Great. So he was an existentialist. Therefore, he believed in existentialism. And I wanted to write it down because I wanted to make sure I didn't follow up the definition of existentialism. It is the existence of the individual person as a free and responsible agent determining their own development through acts of the will. That's what we teach here, what I teach here at least, you know, that I am accountable by way of my thought. It's what the benefit, law of mind action. Because a lot of people think, I can't help but thinking this. This happened, so I should think this. Well, no, not necessarily, because if you're in a different practice, if you're in a different habit, you'll be thinking something else. When I'm in a different practice, I think this, than when I'm in this practice, and I think this. And so to pay attention to that, but Sartre believed in the essential freedom of individuals. And he also believed that as free beings, people are responsible for all elements of themselves, their consciousness, and their actions. That is, with total freedom comes total responsibility. But I had a conflict, we'll call it, a couple of weeks ago with somebody, a friend. And there was the conflict there, and I thought, what's going on here? Because a few years ago, I was like, why do they have to react this way? Why do they have to treat me this way? But that day, I said, I created this. I created this years ago. And I have a chance to uncreate it. And I went to them the following week and I said, I apologize. I understand why you reacted that way. I wasn't doing what I used to do, but I understand why you thought I was. And I apologize. And I will continue to apologize if it keeps coming up, because I'm paying attention more and more for where I come up short or have come up short, and I'm seeing it manifest now for maybe what I did 10 years ago. Now, I'm not a terrible person because of that. I was in a mood 10 years ago, maybe for about 10 years. 10 years ago, I was in a mood. And I'm not in that mood today. And so I can own it, and it's not my identity. And that's where Mr. Sartre talks about as taking on a false identity. He called it bad faith. And you know, I'm not wild about that word bad, but I understand what he means. For someone to say, I am a waiter. No, you wait tables. There's a difference. Our identity, even I am a minister. No, I am someone who ministers. The I am of me, I'm a God being. Let's let it be at that. Let more be revealed from that. I am a singer. No, I'm someone who sings. Politician. No, I'm someone who does politics. And this, my favorite is I am spiritual. Are you really? Let us, the rest of us, be the judge of that. I study spirituality. That doesn't make me spiritual. I'm a God being. I can't not be a God being. But we associate someone who is spiritual, who is rather holy in their behaviors rather than their book learning. We would assess someone who is spiritual in their kindness and their level of joy and the seeming absence of fear. That's where I would assume someone, oh, that's such a spiritual being, until they start calling themselves a spiritual being and then they lose me. And so to pay attention to that, but I'm not here to judge people who call themselves spiritually, but it is a correct perception on my part from the pulpit. You won't ever hear me get up here and say, I'm spiritual. A lot of people say, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. And again, I say, but are you? Our study of spirituality, it'd be like, I am so not an expert on Jean-Paul Sartre just because I have studied him. I have studied existentialism. I'm not an expert in existentialism. I don't qualify as one. I took an accounting course. Doesn't make me an accountant. I took an... Sorry. Oh, okay. That's You thought that's last week when I thought the pipes burst.
Yeah.
It's okay. I took an accounting course to get into ministerial school, to get into seminary. I didn't do it so I could do your books. But I have a clue about bookwork now. I have a clue what this form means, this form means that, which helps me at our board meetings. I took writing courses. Doesn't make me a writer, but sometimes I'm a person who writes. What?
It was a reminder
oh.
to drink water.
Oh, that's right. We've been through this. Oh, deja vu. We misidentify ourselves. We associate ourselves as being what we do. What our career, what it says perhaps on a title on our desk, what it says on our contract, what it says, because some of us are afraid of, oh no, I am nothing. And David loves this joke. There's two holy priests and they're in their
chambers.
Thank you. There's the word I'm looking for. You know, and the one says, I am nothing, and the other says, I am nothing, and the janitor comes along sweet and says, I am nothing, and the other one says, now look who thinks he's nothing. We'll take our nothingness and try to make it status worthy. Because it's now suddenly nothing became something. Every time I realize I truly am no thing, I feel such a sense of relief. Even as a God being, you know, my mind is trying to define what that means to give me some sort of grounding. Because, you know, we talk about God, and as soon as we start to talk about God, we start to try to define God, put it in a box. And by that, we take away the very essence of God. We talk about love, and as soon as we talk about love, we start to define it, which limits it. And we've lost the true essence of love in that, at least in our consciousness. Can't ever lose the true essence of love. But you can sure forget it. You can sure forget about it. As you're trying to get what you want, some of us become very seemingly generous, but only in a self-serving way. I do this so I will feel good about myself. I will do this so maybe you'll think I'm a decent person. I do this because I'm afraid not to, or I need to control the situation. I early on in my healing, if I go to somebody's house for dinner, especially a holiday dinner, I didn't know how to talk to people anymore. And at that healing level when I was that way. So I always volunteered to do the dishes. Now, I never had a host sorry that I was doing the dishes, but I did it for myself. I didn't do it to be generous for my host. I did it because that's where I could find my comfort level at the party in order to be a part of the party. Because what would always happen is one person would come over and help, and I would get to have a conversation. And I didn't have to be part of the masses where I had nothing to say, at least nothing that I knew of. And most people didn't want to hear about my healing because it was a downer at that point. And so it was fine that it was self-serving and it did good, but I didn't fool myself. I am so generous, I'm doing your dishes. I wasn't so generous. I was just in need, and I'm glad it helped. And that's okay too, if we're glad it helped. But some people, they're jumping in where they're not welcome in service. Let me come clean your house. I'll clean out all your drawers. No, get out of my house. It's none of your business what's in my house. That is not a generous act on your part, especially if you're insisting on doing it. Oh, well, but I must do this for you. No, thank you. It's nice. Yeah, thank you for offering. No, but I have to. And then all of a sudden, the generosity of spirit has left. There is no spirituality in that. There is just trying to find a false identity. And then the person that is rejecting, especially suddenly I become that person who's unkind or doesn't want somebody to do these things, and it becomes a conflict. Whereas, if I, out of my God self, just said, how can I help? And if somebody says, thank you, but no, if I walk away, then I have helped. Then I have been generous. Then I have shown an attitude of spirit. But if I keep insisting, then I'm just a pain, quite frankly, and a narcissist. And so I don't want to be that. I want to be what I am. Where we get lost is, that's where you have to end the sentence. I don't know what I am. I just don't know. But I do believe in an I am-ness. And I do believe in divine inspiration. And I believe in divine guidance. If I stay prayed up, and my prayed upness isn't, oh God, please, please give me this. Oh God, please take this away. Oh God, please. My prayer is, I am what I am. And I am open to having that revealed if it will help, if it will spread the word, if it will do whatever needs to be done, and if it's not an imposition. You know, I come here on Sunday mornings and I give the spiritual message as I am inspired. Have I ever rang your doorbell to come and preach at you? Have I ever tried to impose this message on you at your front door? No. So therefore, I feel I am have an open invitation to say whatever I want to say from this pulpit. And if you don't like it, of course, you'll get up and leave. But so many come back. And thank goodness, like I said, other people are trying to rev up the motor on their ARC today, but to come back and say, I want to hear more of this, Sean. Tell me more of this that you were talking about, because I want to think differently. I want to think bigger. And that's why I kept coming back to Unity. It's funny. And over the years, I have watched big Unity churches and centers get smaller and smaller. Not just us. It's all over. They get smaller and smaller because a lot of people don't want this message right now. It's a scary message. Because when it was really popular, like in the 80s and before that, was because the minister would come out and say, I've got something to give you. And it's, I've got a new car for you. I've got a cure for cancer for you. I've got a cure for this. I've got that. I've got cash. I've got everything. Ooh, tell me how to get some more of that stuff. And people stuck around for a while, and they weren't manifesting the way they thought they would. Some got some cash and cars and things, but they didn't get the peace. They didn't get the peace of mind. And they found out, wait a minute, I have to change my thinking? It's not just I have to learn a few affirmations, and then I can go get some stuff? No, it's more than that. Well, what is it I have to do again? Well, tithing is recommended. But here's the essential thing. You got to forgive everybody. And it's like, oh, I'm out of here. That is way too much to ask. That's like asking me to sell my soul. Well, it is. But I promise, if you sell your soul to that, it'll be to the highest bidder. And it's not that you will lose your soul. It's that your soul will be transformed. And you will know things that you didn't know you knew. Have you ever had that happen? After an awakening of some sort, suddenly you know things the next day. You just know things that you didn't know you knew. And so how did that happen? Well, I changed my thinking. And I've had certain rituals. And it's any time I surrender to my spirituality, really suddenly, I know things. Even when I, in Church of Christ, when I got baptized at, 12, 13 years old, by choice, I walked the altar call. And I was immersed in water that day. And the next day, I knew things. And the only reason to do claim that baptism, they told me, is when you believe you know right from wrong. I know they had a big thing about Jesus, but I didn't hear that part. I didn't understand Jesus. I didn't really welcome the thing because it just seemed like an intermediary. But the part, when you know right from wrong, that I heard, didn't mean I was even going to behave right from wrong. It meant I knew the difference. And that's why I walked up there after a 6 o'clock service on a Sunday evening. I said, I want to be baptized. And I was. And that next day, on that Monday, I knew things. I knew things I didn't know before. And then I had my interfaith ordination with St. John the Divine in New York City. It was a big, fancy to-do on the hottest day ever. Our candles melted as we walked the processional in our hand. It was so hot. And it was just overwhelmed with ritual that day, things I would never even think of doing. But the interfaith, it's interfaith, you got to do all the rituals. And they did. But the next day, I knew things that I didn't know before. And I just knew them. I couldn't articulate necessarily, but there were things familiar to me that, like, where did that come from? That wasn't talked about in my house growing up, but I just knew things. And I remember one night on the subway, it was the A train coming from West 4th Street. And I looked at somebody. And it was somebody normally I would have made fun of, perhaps. He looked like he was from clown college. And I thought, this is my brother. This is my brother, and we are all one. And I looked around the train car, and I thought, I am these people. There's no difference between us except our clothes, and clothes being the skin we were wearing. And I thought, well, if I am these people, I better be more cautious about my judgments on them. And so I worked at looking at everybody with love. Let me find love and identification with these people. And I thought, how did I know to do this? I didn't know. I just suddenly knew. Because I was less identified with my old thoughts. I was less committed to the thinking I was trained to do as a child. I wasn't so committed to the things I trained myself to do as an active addict. I wasn't trained anymore. I was open to new thoughts. I was open to true thoughts. Now, what is a true thought? To me, it is that which has no opposite. What is truth? That which has no opposite. Therefore, things are not what they are not. Of Course in Miracles says only the truth is true. Those things are very simple to me, whereas they're anathema to some other people because they want a bigger story with it. But only truth is true means that which is not truth is not true. There you go. Isn't that simple? And I was thrilled with that. I didn't have to worry about which is the truth and which isn't. That'll be revealed. But I no longer have to consider trying to make what is not true, truth. And with this teaching, I no longer have to consider trying to make what is not, is. And so, what you think of me is not. Does that make sense? What you think of me is not. What I think of me is not. I'm still basing it on a limited perception. I don't have all the story here, the whole story, even about myself, about my skin. I don't have the whole story. And I don't have the whole story about you. And you certainly don't have the whole story about me, because I know you don't have the whole story about you. But are you willing to? That, to me, is where we need to start working on. Am I willing to know the whole story about myself? And therefore know the whole story about my neighbor. Now, it will never be an egoic story. It will never be, well, they were born in this year, in this town, and they went to this school, and they had this many siblings. Those are just facts. The knowing is our connection. That's the whole story. It's our connection. It's so simple, it seems impossible and ridiculous. But in my willingness to know the whole story and know, capital K-N-O-W, know it, means it's in me. And that's where I would go for the information instead of Wikipedia. instead of looking up your Wikipedia. I had a laugh. We had a couple of people over for dinner the other night. And the woman, well, actually both of them are well-known in show business fields, but I didn't know them, didn't know a thing about them. As the doorbell's ringing, I'm looking up Wikipedia so I can know something about our guests. That David knew them. David's worked with them, but I really didn't. I thought, well, now's a good time to find out about them as the doorbell is ringing. But I had a lovely time, and I knew a little bit about them and some of their history, so I could ask some questions of things that interest me. But to be very clear, that which interests me is not the truth about them. That's what they've done professionally. That's not their I am-ness. I stayed open to letting them reveal their I am-ness. Where we get so frustrated is when people refuse to reveal their I am-ness. They are not going to show it. They are going to be adversarial. They are going to try to impose their will of their self-perception, which is wrong, on me or on a group or something. And so I have to look at it and say, do I do that? Do I try to show who I am not in the world just to satisfy an egoic thing or to protect me where I think I'm in danger? That's where I spent a lot of my youth, protecting myself, because I thought I was in danger. And it's like, oh, what a waste of time that was, one would think, except I can use it now for talks. But otherwise, it's like, oh, the joy I could have had if I weren't so worried about that I was under attack. And even through COVID, I didn't want to live in a world where I thought I was under attack. And yes, I washed my hands far more frequently. Yes, I wiped down groceries. Yes, I did that stuff because I didn't know. Now, if I had known I still needed to be wiping down groceries this past February when I got the COVID, then but COVID is not the boss of me. Any illness is not the boss of me. What has the effect is what I think about it. But things are not what they are not. We're going to keep coming back to that over and over again. Kenneth sang this wonderful song called Why God. We found it the other day on the internet. And it's, when I go to God, when I pray and I say, why God, what's up? I'm not talking to somebody up in the sky. I'm looking for the highest knowing in me for what to think about it. And that's what those lyrics meant to me. I don't have my childhood God anymore. God, tell me about this. And when I say Spirit, tell me about this, I'm really saying, Sean, tell me about this. Because I know that there is a knowing in me. And when I don't ask, it's because I don't want to know. When I don't ask, I want to rely on old misinformation. When I stay in resentment, it's because I don't want to know the truth. When I keep insisting on rehashing and bringing old stuff up, it's because I don't want to know the truth. Because I'm entertained by the resentment, by the judgment, by the criticism, the not knowing, or I'm afraid of the nothingness that will come with knowing. The sense of, now what? How will I be entertained today if I know the truth? There'll be no place for my judgments. There'll be no place for lack. There'll be no home for my anger that's looking desperately for a home. There'll be no thing, which is the best thing in truth. But it seems a little scary. And any one of us here who have gone through this awakening have witnessed where the resistance is. But if I do this, then I won't be mad at them. And if I'm not mad at them, then who am I? But if I do this, I might not have any money. And if I don't have money, who will I be? If I do this, I might not have my job. And if I don't have my job, who will I be? I don't know. I mean, I know what it's like to put down cigarettes. And I was like, I'm not a smoker, so what am I? I didn't drink. I don't drink. What am I? Who will I talk to? How will I drive a car? What will I do? And the only way to find out is to take the action, the healing thought, and then the healing action, and find out what the demonstration is. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. I am responsible for my thoughts. I am responsible, at least the second thought. I am responsible for my feelings. I am responsible for the maintenance of my thoughts and my feelings. I am accountable for all of them. I have told myself what to think about everything. And in my innocence, because I didn't yet get that information somehow, didn't download. But today, let's see what can download and realize, oh, I'm responsible. I'm not to blame, but I'm responsible. If I'm in a room and nobody wants to talk to me, I'm responsible. It's not that all these people are bad. I'm responsible. I have done something to push, to tell you, stay away from me. I'm responsible. But I am loved because God is love itself. Now, I don't know what that means, but I know it's true. I am loved with infinite love because I live in love. And so, in our greatest joy-filled days and in our biggest pain-filled days, to continue to remind ourselves, I am loved because I live in infinite love. I can't escape it no matter what I do. And so, I shall tell my belief system to believe that I am loved because I live in infinite love. So it is.